All right, turning your Bibles tonight, we just have a few moments together, but we definitely want to spend some time in Psalm 119 tonight. Psalm 119. I will tell you that this passage has been a great strength to me in the last couple weeks. The Lord knows exactly what His people need at the very exact time that they need them. And this passage has kept my feet grounded, as we talked about this morning, on the Word of God. Last time we looked at this passage, we did a brief introduction and looked at how this Psalm 119 is 176 verses, and I found maybe four that do not have a clear reference to God's Word. So, what we have is a psalm that is packed full of references to God's law or testimonies, ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, word. I took the time this week to print out the entire psalm. It fits on four pages. And what I did, and I don't know if you can see this, but what I did was I highlighted all the different times that God's Word is mentioned. And if you were to take this and do this in your Bible, you would have a very colorful piece of paper. Because as you can see, it is a continual thread throughout this psalm. Now, as a pastor, part of my role is to preach. Now, when you preach, you are taking God's truth and you are proclaiming it. Now, I've been dealing with this psalm for a couple weeks now, and this is such a difficult psalm to proclaim. Why? Well, it's because there's this one common theme, but there's 176 verses that go with that. I just can't cover all that in one night. And so I've been asking God, what is it that your people need? How can we, Father, look at this passage and truly glean from it? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read the first three stanzas tonight. Maybe, depending on our time. We'll start with the first one. We'll read the first stanza. And what we're going to look for, and I'm going to ask you to be involved. In other words, tonight I want you to be students of the Word. I want you to be exercising your mind, your detective abilities, as we dig into this scripture. We're going to look at the first stanza. Remember, there's 22 stanzas, 8 verses each. Each stanza begins with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so the psalmist, we don't know exactly who this was, developed and put this together under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And quite possibly it was used as a memory tool. But we don't know all of that for sure, except that it was inspired by God. And we have it preserved for us. So let's read the first 8 verses. You can follow along silently as I read publicly. Verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways." Now I'm going to stop there because you have the first three verses, which you could look at them as the preface, if you will, of this psalm. Now, a preface is something that comes at the beginning. It's something that almost acts like an introduction. And as you see these first three verses, these verses are written where the psalmist does not include himself in these verses. The majority of the psalmist includes himself, involves himself in the interaction with the Word of God. But in these first three verses, this is simply the psalmist declaring the truth about God and His Word. Himself, he's taking out of it. This is God and His Word. And it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Well, that's a statement, that's a truth. Then you have verse 2, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and seek Him with a whole heart." Well, that's a statement. That's a truth. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Yet again, another truth for anybody who's reading this. And notice that these statements are beginning with the term blessed. Now, talking about preface, talking about being blessed, go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Many consider this psalm to be the preface of the entire collection of psalms. Look at how this psalm begins. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in this congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, put on your detective hats. What are the similarities? What are the similarities that you observe, students? Psalm 1 and the first three verses of Psalm 119. I heard blessing, yes. I heard blessing. Man. Blessing in through the walking aspect and walking in holiness. Chip. Obedience brings blessing. Good. Good. Anything else? You've got the major ones. How about the mention of the law? Mention of the law there in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In Psalm 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. What about this idea they also do no iniquity? They walk in his ways. The idea of obedience, as was mentioned, the idea of purity. And it's interesting, and I just draw your attention to that because it's interesting to see that the Psalms itself begin with this very similar idea of blessedness. Blessed is the man who is obedient. Blessed is the man who is delighting in the law of the Lord. And so now we come down to Psalm 119, and the psalmist, in his utter enthusiasm for the Scriptures, is just overwhelmed by the Word of God and by the law, that all of these truths just come spilling out. And he prefaces it all with blessedness. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Now, as we look at verses 4 through 8, there are some things that we can observe, and we can observe these things periodically throughout the Psalms. The psalmist takes a different posture at different times throughout this psalm. There are times when our psalmist here has a posture of being on his knees, a posture of help me, God. Help me. A posture of supplication, a posture of I need your help, God. There's also many times where you will see not only supplication, but you will see statements of truth. Where you will see the psalmist, as he has gleaned truth from God's word, he just can't help himself but just be declaring statements of how it is true, statements of how it has affected his life or the life of those that are around him. You also have the posture of praise. The posture where the psalmist is looking at the Word of God or looking at God Himself and how it is interacting with him in his life or interacting with those that are around him, and he is overwhelmed with praise. And you also have the posture of instruction. The posture of a teacher, where the psalmist is either being taught himself or he himself is teaching others about the truth of God and His Word. Let's just read verses 4 through 8. And with those things in mind, seek to understand the posture of the psalmist as he is writing these verses. Beginning at verse 4, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." What is that? Is that a supplication? Is that a statement of truth? Is that praise? Or is that instruction? It's a statement of truth. God, you have commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And what's the application for us as we go through this? The application for us is that each one of these postures are where we are going to find ourselves at some point in our life. There are going to be times when we cry out to God in supplication and we say, "God, help me." There are going to be times when we just need statements of truth. There are going to be times when we need words of praise and words of instruction. And what you see here, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently," a statement of truth. You cannot argue with that command. You desire us, God, to keep your precepts diligently. Look at verse 5. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." What do you see there? Right. He's crying out. He says, "God, I've heard the statement of truth. And now here's my supplication. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. God, that's my heart." Verse 6, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." What do you have there? You have a statement of truth. You have the end of his supplication, and it branches out into, this is the truth. "If my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, O God, then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." Verse 7, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." Here we see praise. Here we see the psalmist, "I am learning your righteous judgments, the truths, the way that you discern God. I am learning these things, and my heart praises you with uprightness of heart." Why is that? I praise with uprightness of heart because my heart is in agreement with your judgments. And what a place for praise. Can you praise God when your heart is not in accordance with His judgments? No. Our heart, when it is in agreement with the designs and plans and instructions of God, it creates the perfect environment for praise. And finally, in verse 8, "I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly." A statement of truth again into a supplication. God, I will keep your statutes. Oh, please do not forsake me. Now, these postures, that of supplication, that of statements of truth, words of praise, words of instruction, are throughout this entire psalm, 176 verses. And again, this psalm is centralized on God's Word. And I picture it, if you will. I picture a major, major highway that runs across an entire land. And that highway is what connects all the people that live in that land together. And all the little side roads and everything all connect to this major highway. And so it is with our life as a follower of God. The Word of God must be our major highway. It must be where we walk. It must be where we transact and do our business. It must be where we sleep and where we stand and where we teach. The major highway is the place of security, the place of great strength. It is the place that will take you places and will carry you along. It is what connects those of us together. And that is the truth and power of the Word of God. I encourage you, as you walk through this psalm together with me, that you examine the posture of the psalmist as he's writing. And I believe God will challenge us and we will grow together as we march through this on Sunday evenings. Lord, I thank you for this time. Thank you for bringing us together. And I thank you for your people. Lord, we thank you for your word and for its strength, for how it is constant, and for reminding us both this morning and this evening that it must be a regular part of our lives and our feet must be firmly planted upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.